Welcome to Freedom Cast, a podcast dedicated to interviewing star icons and entrepreneurs who have encouraged others to become more healthy and active. My name is Ashton, and it's my pleasure to host you as we take another trip through the fitness industry. It's entertaining and informative, and I hope it makes fitness more exciting and special to you in your own fitness journey. Freedom Cast is supported by Freedom Fitness Equipment in Charlotte, North Carolina. Freedom Fitness Equipment serves the health and fitness community nationwide, from free weights and strength equipment for home gyms and studios to cardio and conditioning equipment for commercial spaces. Check them out at freedomfitnessequipment.com. Let's get rolling with today's show. Just want to welcome Trey with the Optimum Result Fitness. He is in Gastonia, North Carolina. And you've been here for, what, about 2 years now?
We've been here. We just celebrated our two-year anniversary, February 1st of this year, so
fantastic.
Not too long ago.
I love it. So Trey has been really gracious leading up to this podcast. You'll see a gym tour of his facility. It's phenomenal. But one of the main reasons I want to interview Trey is not only does he have an incredible background in health, fitness, and nutrition, but he's built a facility specifically around those strong points. And the gym itself is not just a gym. It's built to really help somebody that comes in with all aspects of their lifestyle related to fitness and related to health. So, yeah, I appreciate you coming on the podcast, man. It means a lot.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So just generically, tell me how you got started in with this particular facility, and then we can backtrack and talk about just fitness in general.
Everything in general. So we opened February 1st, 2020, 6 weeks before COVID-19 shut the world down. Yeah, that's okay. And then we were closed for about 4 months, like everybody else. And to be honest with you, we were sweating it out big time. You know, we had to kind of improvise. And what I mean by that is we actually had about 85 members at the time, and we picked up the phone, we called every single one of them, and we invited them in to check out equipment. So they came and they grabbed dumbbells, they grabbed bands, they grabbed it. The gym was empty, but we didn't need it here anyway. We went online and we trained those 85 members for as long as they would stick to it. And I believe that that is the only reason that we're actually still here today. Is they banded together and supported us and, you know, continued paying dues because rent was still due. And man, we survived. And one of the silver linings that came out of that is it actually turned us into who we are today. When we very first opened, we kind of had the idea of, you know, a little bit more of a traditional wellness center, a gym, if you will. And during COVID, you know, we kind of got pushed into a different direction. We've always had personal training be part of our programs, but one of the blessings that came is we've really learned that we specialize in that. And then what the facility has transformed into is no longer a gym. We don't want to use that word around here. It sounds kind of cheesy, but we call it a wellness solution center. And it's because we look at wellness, especially prior to COVID and still going through it, it's really a continuum, right? It's really not just eating healthy. It's really not just deadlifting 315. It's self-care too nowadays. There's a mental health aspect. There's better nutrition, flexibility, yoga. And what we're trying to do here that I believe is a little bit different is we're trying to introduce and educate our members about wellness as a whole. So that's why we incorporated, you know, meal prep services along with our nutrition coaching. We have personal training here available, but we've also supplemented a physical therapist with a massage therapist. I got to introduce you to Tune, which is about the only thing I've ever seen to kind of help out with that mental health part of exercise. So I hope that answers your question there. Is we kind of got forced into it. Not reluctantly, we kind of embraced it, but man, it's just really changed us. And I actually feel now that we're making a difference in the community. What we're doing is really not just trying to serve everybody a membership, is we want to get those who can make an impact. We want to change some lives.
I like the approach because it's holistic, not in the hokey sense of that word, but the actual, like, genuine practical sense of that word. You know, you're not Like you said, you're not just a gym, but there's so many other aspects. The interesting thing is, I don't think I've ever interviewed any gym owner or been to a gym that ever focuses on the mental health aspect at all. That's just expected. You know, you go to a psychologist, you go to somebody else. You don't go to your gym for that. You go to your gym to get swole or something.
Yeah.
So I love that. That's part of the model.
Well, you know, it's actually interesting because, you know, one thing I've learned is it all comes down to motivation. Whatever it is, right? Stick into it. When those challenges come up, you know, not going completely off the meal plan, people just, they just kind of have those challenges. They haven't been able to find a way around it.
Can you talk a little bit about your personal background? Because my understanding from through the grapevine is you've done a lot of stuff leading up to this. So what is your background, both from a health and fitness and also a business standpoint?
Man, it's a great question. So this will be my 17th year doing personal training. Yep. So I'm 37. I want to give my age out, but this is literally just about all I've ever done. And it's just been a passion of mine for a while now. And man, messing me up a little bit. All right. So 17 years in the business, I've worked for major chains like Gold's Gym, LA Fitness. There was one called Urban Active. And during that process, as much as I loved those big box gyms, I felt like at the time, early in my personal training career, is I really wasn't there to do what I thought I was. I was there to kind of help people, but just the culture was a little bit different. You know, there it is a business, right? So that kind of started to turn me off from fitness and personal training. And then I actually caught a little stint of luck and met a client who moved me from one of those gyms to a country club setting where I was the only personal trainer. And from there is where I started to develop my own business. Yeah, and that was about 10 years ago. So what you see today is about 10 years in the making of, you know, going out there and training on my own, trying to serve people in a way that was different, but not really having a big enough platform to actually make an impact. Yeah. What I believe we created here was we wanted to be different, and I know I keep saying this, than gyms on two ways, is not only for our members, but I really wanted it to be a different experience for our employees.
Yeah.
So for us, you know, our employees are actually the most important part of the system here. We kind of look at the heart rate monitors and the equipment. All these things are just kind of secondary. So when it came to opening this place, I wanted to do two things. Is I wanted to be kind of the example of fitness in Gastonia. But we also wanted to be that beacon for personal trainers who have the same mission, that they want to make an impact in people's lives. So when these trainers come in, we have our own in-house development program that we use with them as well. We develop them. And not only do we develop the trainer, we also develop the person. So we work on things in their personal lives as well, whether it be, you know, chasing ambitions they have in bodybuilding or powerlifting, teaching them how to budget, you know, teaching them how to be good people also. Yeah. And what I believe that does is we invest time in them. They invest that same time into their clients. So we look at it as a whole team. We're here to make an impact in everyone's lives, not just the ones who buy memberships.
So for those, my impression of personal trainers is largely that they get their certification, they go in, they do some generic HIIT programming with whatever their clientele is, and that's about the extent of how they've been trained and how they continue to work. So what kinds of things, just from a practical standpoint, are you doing and working on with the trainers here that people might not be thinking about, that if they're in the personal training space, they might want to branch out into, just to be more effective?
Yep. Well, hey, when it comes to personal training, it's a service. Yeah. So above all things, service first. And I think that when you approach this the wrong way, when you as a trainer put too much of your personal influence into your client, that's the beginning of the problem. right? It's more about trying to kind of meet each of these individuals where they are, but that's going to require more than just kind of coming in for that workout. We have each trainer take a member, no matter what membership they do, through an onboarding process. Now, how is this different than some other gyms? Well, I don't want to say this, but most of the time it's just a pitch to get sold personal training. Well, we teach them how to service first. So we have three sessions that we take our members through when they join. The first one, you know, takes them around and actually teaches them how to use equipment, how to use your app, do as their measurements and everything. And then they come in on another session where they learn about all the stuff you see in this classroom. They learn about target heart rate. They learn how to actually build an exercise program. Last session, we're going to sit down and we're going to do nutrition. We're going to teach you how to use MyFitnessPal. We're going to set goals in those areas as well. So I think that one thing we're teaching our trainers is really how to engage people and how to motivate and coach people. Because as a trainer, they're buying you. They're not buying the deadlift. They're not buying the Life Fitness equipment. They're buying you. So where we've had so much luck, I believe, in converting clients into personal training is by service first.
Yeah, you mentioned how much of your clientele is actually has a personal trainer as opposed to is just a member?
That's a great question. So it's about 70% of our members work with a personal trainer, and that's we have about 300 members currently.
Yeah, because do you know what the averages are? It's a general like global block.
10%, 15%. Yeah, it's
wow.
Not that high. Yeah.
Wow. So there's a culture here of
it's all about the culture.
We're going to help.
And I think that you know our members are experiencing that. Most of our clients are coming from referrals from existing clients. They're just bringing them in.
So can you talk a little bit too about that? And I'm talking a little bit more about, you know, the relationship aspect and also just the mental health aspect like we were discussing. But that I'm curious that machine you were referring to that we looked at, he's got a, I'll have to point it out in the video, but it's something you lay on and it helps with metabolism. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we gained access to this piece. I have a partner named Kenny and he's into the medical field and he's really into technology. And on one trip he was taken to New York, he went to a Hilton or something and they had this thing called a Tune bed. And, you know, it caught his attention. So he laid on it and tried it out. And I guess it really touched him, right? Because, well, we have one now. And when we first got it, like I said, I've been in the industry a while. And every year there's a new something, right? A new little fad thing that is going to let you down. So I did some research into it. And what Tune does is it's actually called vibroacoustic therapy. This actually goes way back to Mayans and in the temples and into the caverns, right? I did not realize that this stuff has actually been around forever. Somebody's just actually made technology out of it. So the way that it works is actually pretty simple, is that there's two parts to our nervous system. There's a sympathetic and a parasympathetic side. These are kind of in control of all of the involuntary functions, blinking, breathing, heart beating. But other things like your metabolism, all of these things are involuntary. And in today's environment, and with all the stress and anxiety that's doubled our normal stresses and anxieties, science has shown that we have a hard time turning off that fight or flight response. So what does it do? Well, on the inside, it slows your metabolism down. It does tend to make you crave some foods that you might not want, and your motivation does tend to lack. So what the Tune bed is designed to do is kind of exercise that other part of the muscle only to strengthen that off switch. So that way, as you do become stressed and anxious and those feelings start to take over, now you've developed the strength to turn it right back off. It does not mean that you're not going to get stressed out again, but I have noticed clients and even myself, you have a little bit easier time getting past it. Does that make sense? Where you're stressed, and instead of it ruining your whole day, all right, well, maybe you're teed off for a little bit, but then you're back to normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. A lot of us are believed to stay hung up in that whole fight or flight response. So tune's kind of interesting. In 15 minutes, it's supposed to be comparative to kind of doing like a 60-minute meditation. And I think me and you talked about that in the room. I've tried meditating before, and I there's no stopping thinking for me. So this is the next best thing. And it's kind of interesting, but they have seven different frequencies that have been designed to serve a different purpose. Where do you normally find tune beds? Well, psychotherapists actually use them the most. What it does is for people who have had PTSD and anxiety, is it helps get them to a calm place before their sessions so they're more open to therapy. Therapists will tell you that they'll spend 50 of the 60 minutes breaking down walls. You only really get 10 minutes in. So they've started using this in advance, and it's shown to help make some improvements. But again, it's kind of like working out. It's not a singular event. It's a you know, once to twice a week, consistently, just like anything else, seems to be but really does the magic.
You mentioned meditation as a method of helping people to address the stress in their lives. So if they don't have access to something like that, you mentioned 60 minutes of meditation is roughly equivalent. Is there anything else that people can do, obviously other than working out, to address that stress directly? Things are practical. Maybe they don't have an hour a day.
100%. So I'm of the belief that something is always better than nothing, right? So leaving your stress and your problems unaddressed is just not even an opportunity. If you don't got a tune bed and you can't stop thinking like me, I think the magic comes from distracting yourself, right? Exercise is also another one of those things. I think what happens is you get a chance to get outside of your head and you're in reality now. Yeah. Some people call it the in the now, right? When you're exercising, that's all you're focused on is getting that weight off your chest or over your head. Not everyone's into that either. But I think things like, you know, going on a nature walk, you know, how many times have you done that, right? Go to the park, go walk around. When you're out there and it's quiet and you're looking around, you start to realize that I'm actually not in trouble at this very moment. Yeah. Things are actually pretty okay right now, right? And I think that you just got to start somewhere. Journaling is a really good way to get that same effect. Write your feelings out. I mean, I'm not trying to get too much into the yeah. feelings and stuff, but these are skills that we were not taught as children and we were not taught as adults. Coping mechanisms. Most of the time, we're doing something that's not beneficial. Yeah. Eating something, drinking something, doing drugs or something. You know, writing down your feelings. There's been times where I've done this and I thought it was the corniest thing I've ever done. It allows you to process it. Yeah. It's really weird. You start thinking through it. Journaling, outdoor walks, exercising, riding around with the windows down. I think for that meditation, what you want to try to do is anything that gets you out of your head, where you have to pay 100% attention to what you're doing at that moment. That's where we recover.
I want to address something that we walked through in the front room there, which is the meal prep and just helping the members with that. I know there's all these quips about 80% of your results are in the kitchen, 20% are in the gym. How important is it in your mind, the mental health, the nutrition aspects, the fitness aspect, like how important is the nutrition side for, I don't know, actually seeing results and even getting out of your own head, like helping other aspects of your lifestyle?
Yeah. It's all tied together, okay. Right? You know, how important is nutrition to seeing results? I'm going to say it's probably the most important, right? Because, you know, without the proper nutrition, your body just doesn't have the ability to change. It's actually using that nutrition to kind of help our bodies change. But at the same time, you know, let's take it outside of just seeing results. If you ever want to see some results of any type, the first thing you got to do is get started. And if you don't feel like yourself, you don't physically feel good, it's going to be hard to stay motivated, right? I believe that eating better, not a diet all the time, but, you know, less sugars, less bad sodiums, more whole foods. I think that when you start there, you will actually feel better. And as you feel better, you tend to get more motivated to take on the next step. So kind of going back into that continuum, you can be eating healthy, or let's say you're exercising, but you're not seeing the results you want. You're not going to stick to it. And if you don't stick to it, then what happens? Well, now you're upset about this. You're upset about the results you're not seeing. I would say if anybody wanted to start an exercise program, that probably starting by eating healthier is the first step.
Interesting. Okay. Now what are your thoughts on – so there's a lot of salespeople running around. I think I asked somebody on a podcast previously about this, you know, on-the-go nutrition being really difficult. But what are your thoughts on folks that – you know, they're still in a calorie deficit, for example, trying to lose weight, and they're still eating McDonald's. They just don't, you know, they don't have other options available at the time, or maybe they do. They're just not choosing that, and still doing everything else right, doing the fitness and getting good sleep and working out in the gym and that kind of thing. But how do you think that affects them overall if they're sticking with, say, in this example, junky foods? But they've got all those other factors lined up. Like, how do you think that's affecting them long term?
Well, you know, I make this joke about some other diets sometime. You know, ketogenic is, yeah, you lost 5 pounds, but now you got blood pressure and cholesterol problems. Does that make sense? You know, I believe that if you start, that there's steps to it. So when we teach nutrition, we really try to teach a couple of steps. And actually, the first step is volume. It is calorie control. What you'll experience is initially the scale will start to go down anytime you're in a deficit, but the road is short-lived. So as we get them started with that, the next step is to work on balance. You know, if you're eating the right calories, but they're all from fats, it's just not going to quite work the same. So we teach our clients about better balance throughout their meals. So I would say for somebody who was, you know, tracking their macros or tracking their calories, if they get held up noticing that, all right, I'm not going over my calories, but not getting the results I'm looking for, the next step is going to be the quality of food. The quality is where we come in next. Balancing them out, proteins, carbs, fats. You got to have those fruits and vegetables. And then actually that third piece of the puzzle is timing. So protein has been proven to be best suited small servings throughout the day. We have a lot of clients who are anti-carb, man. So we teach them to use the carbs around their workouts so that way it benefits them, right? So I think when you look at it in those steps is they're doing the right thing by reducing their calories, but it's not going to work forever. Eventually, I would say the next one is moving closer to whole foods.
Okay. Is there any way people can, or have you seen people go overboard with any one of those aspects? What does that look like? And like, why would you want to avoid, I don't know, going overboard on the nutrition side or even going overboard on working out like 6 or 7 days a week and going hard 3 or 4 hours, you know, what does that affect?
Burnout. Yeah. It's just burnout, man. You know, the number one, we got steps for everything. And we believe that the most important thing is simply consistency. When clients first get started, you know, you could literally walk around your living room. If you did it every day for 30 days, you're going to see some type of result. So I think what you got to do is pace yourself 3 to 4 days out of the week. I would rather have someone be average at everything as opposed to be a great dieter but never really make it to the gym, you know, never really follow through with some of the details. I think you got to pace yourself, and instead of trying to be great at one thing, just get better at everything, you know, eating just a little bit better. You don't have to work out 6 days a week, but if you can do it 3 or 4 days a week, every week, we're going to get somewhere. And, you know, and then kind of sticking to it. That's the hardest part, right? Is if you start really strong 6 days a week, 3 months, and then the next 3 you're on hiatus, it's going to be tough too. Burnout's the number one thing I see. People staying motivated is the second thing, right? Yeah. It's hard, man. It's hard.
Talk to me a little bit about your training philosophy on the lifting and the gym side. So I know some people who are all about strength. There are certain people who just have this philosophy that if you run enough, you'll lose enough weight and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But where do you stand on in relation to all of that? Or is it honestly very custom and specific?
Well, it would depend on the person's goal, of course. You know, if your goal was to run a marathon, well, you might be more cardio-based. But if we're talking just general goals and things, you know, strength training is always going to be the foundation of any program. And the reason we do that is, you know, when you're doing cardio, you're really just using oxygen for energy. Most of the results that we're looking for in the gym are some type of toning or body fat reduction, weight loss, sometimes weight gain, I suppose, and the type of working out that they're going to be doing is going to be just a little bit different. They would add nutrition as the second layer, and then cardio exercise, we actually use the least in our programming.
Okay.
Yep. Any program, the way that it's effective is it needs to be a progressive overload program. So when we design something, when we get started, we give you a framework, but where the coaches come in is week by week, we're slowly nudging those programs forward. So I believe strength training is the foundation. You got to have nutrition in there. Cardio, unless you're a runner, is probably something you'd only do 15 or 20 minutes a day.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you're not a fan of getting on the treadmill, even at a steady state rate, and just either walking for an hour or doing something like that?
Ooh.
Or, okay.
15 to 20 minutes. What I was saying earlier, that the reason the strength training is so great with the toning and stuff is, you know, a lot of that extra weight comes from the food that we're eating. So we have to try to use an energy source that attaches that. Walking on the treadmill for an hour is not using anything you just ate, right? So you're doing something, yeah. You're burning calories, yeah. But you really don't know where they're coming from. Not everything that we lose is body fat.
How have you set up the facility? You've got so many rooms in here, which I love, from the bar room to this burn room and then the general gym. Why did you set up the facility that way? Can you explain a little bit of the logic?
That's a great question. So when we very first started, what we wanted to try to do was, you know, provide a traditional fitness center, the gym, but we really got our attention caught by boutique fitness. Orange Theory, Rock Box, Bar, Yoga. So we had all this other space, so we wanted to take the gym and surround it by boutique-style fitness options. So that's why these rooms look so different. You know, this one with the lights off, you know, these treadmills and rowers and the heart rate monitors, you know, other companies have used this platform before and had a lot of great success with it. The thing that we didn't like about it is when you join Orange Theory Fitness, they have this, but it never changes. It's the same exact thing all the time. So their clients get bored. The membership life there is probably not very long. So if you could join our facility and you would be able to have access to the gym, but also do Orange Theory-like classes, also be able to do Rock Box-style classes, take bar, do yoga, it's really a one-stop shop. The idea was that our clients would never get bored and would also never have to leave, that we would provide everything that, you know, would keep them busy and entertained right here in one place.
I was actually listening to a podcast that was talking about training variety, funny enough, and talking about how much you want to introduce or is there such a thing as too much training variety?
Well, I think that you can try to be good at too many things. Right. Yeah. So I think it depends on how you look at it. So we have a foundation of course, nutrition, workouts, and accountability. So that's our thing. It doesn't really matter what style of training that we're doing. They all follow these same principles. So we have clients who join for weight loss. I have my trainer, Adam, who has a group of 14 to 16-year-old young men who play baseball. They do baseball-specific training. Emily has a group of soccer girls and a horseback riding team. I have another trainer who kind of specializes in assisted stretching. Another one does nutrition. So it is a lot of things going on, but I think it's only if one person's trying to do all those things that it fails. We kind of have a specialist in each category. Does that answer your question?
It does. Yeah, that really, really helps.
I think for us is when you're trying to do as like just a company too many things, you spread yourself a little thin. You know, and our goal was to be great at personal training. Now, how we're training and who we're training, well, that opens up a lot of other doors for us.
You don't want a generalist teaching every single type of training that there is.
No, I think that would take away.
Yeah.
Our trainers have their own little specialties. And when I meet with clients for their consults, my role in the whole thing is kind of pairing them off appropriately. So when you join, you don't just get who's next in the rotation. I'm putting some interest in you too. I want to get you with who's best for you.
I love that approach. That's so cool. It's so many things you're talking about. I literally, like, this is the first time I'm hearing this.
This is awesome. Yeah,
yeah, that's so exciting. From an owner of a gym that has all these things in line. You were just talking about specialized sports and baseball and horseback riding, and they have their own athletic specific movements. Is there any argument to be had for having a good, like, folks who are listening, like, if you're in one of those things and you do have to specialize, is there a base level of strength training that we should be doing, or is there any argument to be made that you should only be doing those kinds of athletic or sports specific movements basically all the time?
Great question. So of course the answer depends. So I think it depends on if you're in the season or not. All right, so for example, we've designed programs that are intra-season and then feeding them out and back in. So Adam has a 12-week program, for example. Whenever the kids are in season, they're doing more maintenance-style work. They are doing exercises that are more specific to baseball, but they're doing a lot of arm health, a lot of recovery things that we know that these young men are not doing on their own. You know, me and Adam both had our baseball careers cut short because we were silly young men and we tore our rotator cuffs. We didn't, not only did we not take care of them, we didn't know how to take care of them. He's helping maintain that throughout the season. But then when they get done, he's got 12 weeks with them. They do 2 weeks postseason unwinding. They do a 4 to 6 week building phase. And then he does a final 4 week preseason prep to get them conditioned going back into the season. Now, during that time, they're not doing baseball-specific exercises. We're working on the body as a whole again, just because that's what leads to the injuries, is doing just the baseball stuff. You're not made to move that way to begin with, right? And now you start amplifying imbalances that the season's already promoting. So that's why in the off season, phase one is undoing all the repetitive patterns that they've created in their body to get them back to neutral. And then from there, we can start to see some progress again. I hope that wasn't too long of an answer. It depends. If you're in season, sport-specific injury prevention, but outside of the season, you need to be doing everything.
Let's say, for example, that it's all year round, which it sounds, I mean, baseball pretty much is at that point. You've got a little bit of an off season, but say somebody is, I'll just go back to the things that I know. So say powerlifting or strongman, I do know they do have off seasons, but if for some reason somebody decided I'm going to do this all year, all day, every day.
Yeah.
I mean, recommendations or do they still need to be taking these kinds of, you know, hiatuses, or can they do off-season training during the season?
I think it depends on the sport, right? So powerlifting in season is different than baseball in season. Powerlifting in season, you might have a meet once every couple of months. They're playing 4 or 5 games a week, right? So I think it just depends on the sport. Baseball and all those are going to kind of have some off-season times built in. But like, if you're a bodybuilder or a power lifter, I think it could be easy. Hey, because I love working out. Sometimes I have to make myself stop, right? Go home. I think you want to do the responsible thing, and you have to realize that there is only so much capacity the human body has. If you're going to train like that, you got to make sure you're doing all the maintenance work too. You got to make sure the nutrition is on point. You probably need to be stretching every day, going to see a massage therapist every night. You know, you got to kind of do the maintenance work. But that is the only way I think you can keep up with it year round, is if you're really doing all the maintenance work. And I know I'm guilty of not doing it. Right. So I try to build in a 2 week break about every 6 months. I usually only make it about 9 or 10 days though, and I'm back in here working out. Yeah, I can't do it, man. I even know better. I feel like as a world, as a culture, none of us have enough time. So I think if you are making the time and putting it in, you can work out at that capacity. But if you know you're skipping the stretching, if your nutrition's not quite where it needs to be, we're going to be lying to ourselves if we don't think you're going to set yourself up for an injury. And you're going to get one of those nagging injuries. Your bicep isn't going to come dislocated. You're going to get that little ache in your shoulder that every time you raise your arm, it hurts. And then it makes working out not fun. I think that that's where you get in trouble, right? Is once you get to that point, then it's like, oh, this sucks.
Is there anything to be said, by the way, you mentioned fun. This is really interesting to me because I did CrossFit. I've done powerlifting. I'm on a hypertrophy cycle right now, basically just for those who are listening, more of a bodybuilding cycle and just muscle growth. For people who are really struggling with just getting in and working out, I don't know. I found that the more fun you're having, like you said, the more you're going to want to do it. But if you're in... I think that can also be taken too far personally. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're in powerlifting and you've got to prep and some days just suck. You know, how do you practically balance like this needs to be fun so I can be consistent and oh yeah, there's some days that are just absolutely terrible. Are there like you string together five of those and maybe this is not for you kind of a thing, or how do you differentiate between having fun, being consistent, and then also just grinding through some things?
Just pushing through. It probably depends on kind of like what you're trying to achieve. I think it probably comes down to atmosphere and culture. You know, where are you, right? I know that I've been in different buildings and around different people that can change that. I've been places that, like Rob's, for example, anytime I go in there and see Rob, man, I get motivated. I've been in other gyms though that just don't do it, right? So you know, probably atmosphere. I think you got to find your home, right? You got to find your gym home. And for some of our clients and stuff, you know, you're right about the fun slash, you know, it's going to be work too. But what we try to do here is provide that for them. It is when they come in, they're clapping as they walk into the door. When they come into the classrooms, everybody's cheering each other on. So I think culture, I don't know if that kind of is the answer you were expecting, but it's kind of atmosphere. I think if you just leave it to yourself, I don't know if that's going to work out. I know I have weak moments, right, where I just can't do it alone. I'm going to have times I'm not motivated or inspired and the workouts are going to suck. But when I come in here and I see one of my buddies I ain't seen in a while, it kind of makes it worth getting here. Now, once I'm here, it's easier to follow through. You know, sometimes you might talk yourself out of even coming, and I think that's where the problems might start with that.
This is interesting because I've been interviewing a lot of folks in the home gym and garage gym community in that space, and this is something that is missing, and people have argued about a commercial gym setting, regardless of whether it's you guys or somebody else, like having that camaraderie and that environment that you're in that's building you towards being better. Whereas with garage gym, I mean, virtual training and that's a thing. You mentioned that. But it's just not the same, you know?
It's not the same. And online training is a big thing, right? It's huge. And it all comes down to the person, right? I think for the right people, that'll always serve them. If you're a little introverted and you don't really like people and you want to just knock it out, that's always going to be an option for you. But, you know, for the other 90% of us, I believe we're just made to be around people, man. When you come in somewhere and you feel like you belong and you feel like everybody's glad that you're there, that's what makes the difference.
How do you find, what are some good indicators to you that in a personal trainer based on your background that somebody goes in, they say, I'm looking for somebody who's going to address all of me, not just you know, the physical side. Like, what are some questions you can ask of personal trainers going into a Globo gym or whatever to differentiate the ones that are, that might be terrible from the ones that are actually going to help you, and think about that holistically?
It's a great question. So I'll give this advice to anybody is I ask this question before I hire any personal trainer. And this is the qualifier is, Ashton, why did you decide to become a personal trainer? Based off of that answer is how you're going to pick your coach. It has nothing to do with the experience. It has nothing to do with the doctorate degree in kinesiology. I've seen them come and go. You want somebody who's there for you. Every single one of my trainers have one thing in common, is they all answered that question the very same way, and they don't even know it. They all have an unyielding desire to help people. Everything else has been taught. I cannot teach that. So if I had any advice, you're buying the coach. You want somebody who's wants to help you, because the right person, the things they don't know, they'll go learn for you. The things that they, the damn Google's right there. Trust me, there ain't nothing that they can't figure out, but they gotta want to. I've seen trainers with master's degrees. I've seen people with 20 plus years experience that just don't really wanna help people, man. They're there to get the paycheck, right? On paper, they look great. You ain't gonna have a great experience. I think that it's all about consistency. You want somebody that wants to be there and wants to be working with you. Yeah, if they have a passion for helping people, it don't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter if they have that new NASM certification. You know, you do want them to be certified now. They need to be qualified. But I'll tell you from experience, the more certifications and the more experience does not necessarily mean you're getting a better trainer.
That's what I was going to ask about. Like, I feel like in a lot of cases, the folks that have more anecdotal evidence and support for their training styles and helping other people, as long as they have what you said up front, they're actually willing to serve, have more of a more to bring to the table than six different degrees or training certifications. As long, you don't want to work out with somebody that's doesn't have any of that, but like, have you found that, you know, folks like yourself who've been training for a while, have that practical application and experience, are much more able to serve in that way, or
100%. I mean, okay. it's just like anything else, right? You know, when you go see your doctor and he's been doing it for 40 years, he already knows what's going on, right? I do believe that, you know, the right person is, I'm just going to have experiences that they just have not had yet. And for us, where I think that we work so well together is I kind of am the trainer's trainer in a way that I'm here to work through them as well with our clients. So we're all sharing experiences. Any experiences they have not had, I've probably have, and I think we can work together. But yeah, if you got somebody who's worked with people specifically in your client type, that's who you probably want to go with. If you want to be a runner, do not hire a bodybuilding coach.
Okay. So specialists always preference over general practitioners.
Specialized, yep. Because check this out. People don't gain these specializations because somebody told them to.
Right.
You have to want to go and learn more to do that. So that person became a specialist for a reason. It means they have some type of passion for this subject. There's specializations in everything, but you know, nutrition's kind of one that I gravitate towards. But you know, there's weight loss specialists. Hell, there's even social media specialists now. Can you believe that? Yeah, that's wild to me, but it's a thing.
People have full businesses based off of that. Actually, I have a good friend that, off topic, but does exclusively that.
Yeah. Hey, it's the thing, man. Yeah. I'm mad I didn't invent it.
It's a good thing to be. Awesome. If people wanted to find you guys and come look, get a tour, start thinking about personal training, where can they find you?
Wow. Well, we are on our website, www.thethe, I've messed this one up a lot, OR, like optimum result, fitness www.thebrandingcompass.com. If you couldn't remember that, just Google it. But yeah, you come on in, you can have a free tour. Everything we do is specialized in personal training, but we offer this service at many different levels. We wanted to make it possible for everyone. So we have do-it-yourselfer memberships. You might not want to work with a trainer one-on-one, but maybe you would like for me to design your training programs and your nutrition program and just check in with you on occasion. We do that. Or we have clients who work out every single time you come. We do what's called a complimentary transformation session, and that's an opportunity for us to learn more about each other. Clients can come in. We're not going to pressure them into doing this for one reason. It's for personal training. You got to want to do it. If I hard sell you and make you do something you don't want to do, it's just miserable for all of us the whole time. So no pressure. What I've learned is sometimes people come in and now's not the right time, and they pop up 6 months later ready to go. So if you're just curious and you just want to learn a little bit more, come on in. I'll show you around, learn what you're trying to accomplish, show you how I believe we could fill in those gaps, and then we'll leave you with some information to noodle on and let us know if it's a good fit.
I love it. Last question for you. What are some good signs, whether it's in a client you're training or just in a general population member, that they have a good relationship with a healthy lifestyle, whether it's training, like all of those things? What are some good signs to you that they have a good relationship with all of those aspects?
Usually their attitude, right? As crazy as that sounds, you know, usually when folks have a bad attitude or something in their life just isn't quite right, and typically it's kind of one of those things. Physically, I don't have any early warning signs, right? But just kind of people's attitude, believe it or not, because I've seen them change. I've had clients join who, I don't know if their dog got ran over that day, but it wasn't good. 3 months later, 6 months later, man, they've just really turned around, and they're almost like different people. It's weird how much of an impact that has. So usually when someone's like that, I can kind of tell they aren't taking the best care of themselves.
Check these guys out. It's a gym that's totally different from anything I've personally ever seen. I've been in quite a few gyms, interviewed quite a few gym owners on this podcast. So
thank you for saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. The Optimum Result Fitness.
That's it.
And check Trey and his crew out here in Gastonia, North Carolina. Do you also have anything online, or are you able to do any virtual visits?
We do. Yep. Okay. You could do a Zoom call with me. Okay. We can do a FaceTime. That's all we were doing during quarantine. Perfect. Man, so I'm a pro at it now. I never thought I'd say that. But we also work with people remotely through our online training program. So even if you can't get out here to Gastonia to work out here, we can train you at another facility. And we have hybrid programs where people just come in once a month to do our in-body and measurement.
Oh, yeah.
And I design their program for them. And they work out in South Carolina somewhere or at the beach. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I like that.
Very cool. It's neat, man. It's wild. I never thought. But another blessing that quarantine had given us.
I compare you to like Apple. Just do different.
Just do different, man. Yeah.
I like it. Well, Trey, thank you so much for coming by.
Listen, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Please give Freedom Cast a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It would mean a lot to our business. Plus, it's fun to read y'all's reviews. See you next time.